Communion means to be with someone and not just beside them, but everything with them apart. Hey, bless you. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the day that they tortured Jesus Christ and nailed him to the cross, and they lifted that cross up? Now, there's a first and a last for everything. Can you imagine when that cross first hit that one spot, and the very first drop of blood that fell from his body when they yanked him into position, and that first drop of blood fell all the way to the rocks below and hit that rock and just exploded. That drop of blood would have hit that rock and exploded what? All the darkness that was to ever be. The destruction at the moment that the drop of blood hit, bam! But it was a sound in the spirit realm that was huge. Can you imagine the reverberations through the parts of hell? Hades was in the center of the earth by then. When that drop of blood hit the rock, the explosive change and sound that happened in the spirit realm at that point in time. When Jesus hung on the cross, at some point he said, "It is finished." What was he telling us? He wasn't telling us, "I'm getting close to my heart stopping and taking my last breath." It wasn't a medical report that he was trying to give on the closeness of the end of his life. It was, the blood has satisfied the contract with God. Here's what happened. God tricked the devil. He fooled him. And he fooled him in this way. When he made mankind, he made sure that all of them were a container of blood. And several places in the Bible, Leviticus 17 was one of them. I read it again in another verse this morning in my personal prayer time. It said, the life is in the blood. God said, when I see blood, I see life. Your blood in your body carries everything that your body needs. If we poke a hole in you and remove your blood, you cannot stay. You would be required to leave because the life of the creature is in the blood. Here's the trick that God pulled on the devil. He made sure that we all had blood in us. And when sin occurred, death occurred. And God said, when I see blood, I see life. He said, here's the deal I have for you. A deal you can't refuse. Well, you could, but you wouldn't want to. He said, I'll swap and trade you death for life. Your death from sin, I'll switch it. I'll swap it. I'll trade it for life. How's he going to do that? He said, now, I've put life into them called blood, and I call him blood life. So if I'm going to switch death for life, I can switch blood for death. Blood for death, because to him it's a symbol of life itself. He said, I'll trade. A lot of people think that Christians are a very bloody religion. Why are you guys always talking about the blood? I don't like blood. It creeps me out. You know, I don't like to see my blood. I'm not going to the medical field. Blood, blood, blood. This Christian, what's the deal with the blood? The blood is the life of the creature, the life of the person. It was the trick that he tricked the devil with. How did he do that? The Word of God says, because death came in due to the sin of one man, it's only fair that life could enter through the righteousness of one man. But we couldn't find a righteous man. Wasn't me, wasn't you. A person had to show up and live righteous. You think it was tough to die on the cross for 3 hours? How is it to live sin-free for 33 years? Which one do you think you could make it through? So the righteous man came. He had to. A death had to trade itself for our death. And why did Jesus have to come down? Why couldn't God just say, I love you guys? Lean over heaven and go, I love everybody. Hello, I love you. I love you. It wouldn't have worked. Do you know why? Because we had death and our death need to be traded out. Traded out for something. But if Jesus stayed at the right hand of God in heaven, he couldn't die. Nothing dies in heaven. Nobody dies in heaven. The only way a death could occur is if he took on an earth suit. Some people think, well, why did he have to become a man? I think I'm struggling with that thing. I can't believe that God could be a man. He had to, because he had to die, and he couldn't die if he stayed in heaven. If he just sat there, nothing would have happened. He had to put on an earth suit that was subject to death so that the death of the one righteous man could be traded and swapped out. And when his blood life was poured out, came out of his body, then he could say, it is finished. Life has been traded for death. It was a trick of the devil, because the devil thought, if we could just kill him, we got him. We just need to kill him. We need to spill his blood. But God put blood in all of us, and that's our blood connection. The word testament, you have a New Testament and an Old Testament in your Bible? That actually technically doesn't mean testament. That's an old English word. In the original word, it means to cut where the blood flows. The old blood covenant, some people call it, and the new blood covenant. The old blood covenant is when they sacrificed animals. The new blood covenant was the blood of Christ. Covenant, cut where the blood flows. Because in a covenant, everything that you have belongs to the other person, and everything that they have belongs to you. Interesting. Jesus was the double cutter. Isn't that weird? The double cutter. He says he's the mediator of a covenant. Now, here's how they did in the covenant times. They would cut this part of their wrist or their palm. This is called the coven. This part of the body that I'm holding up, my hand, this is called the coven. They would make a cut there, they would press their hands together, and they would bleed into each other's wound and say, my life has gone into you, your life has gone into me. We're closer than even a blood relative could be. My very life is in you, and everything you have belongs to me, and everything that I have belongs to you. Jesus was both man and God. He had to be. He had to be, because there had to be two covenants cut for our salvation, not just one, two. A mediator. In the old days, if person A was in covenant with person B, and person B was in covenant with person C, A was connected to C. Through the middleman B, the middleman. As God, Jesus Christ, cut a covenant, a blood contract with man. And as man, Jesus Christ cut a blood covenant with God. Do you remember when they were taking communion at the Last Supper, and Jesus held up the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant, blood contract. He was cutting a covenant as God with man. On the cross, he spilt his blood, said it is finished, and as man, he cut a covenant with God. The double cutter. The double cutter. Livingston traveled around Africa, exploring all over the place. And every time he came to a tribe, they would cut a covenant, a blood covenant with that tribe. They would make a cut, and they would go from tribe to tribe and hold up the scar. But Livingston didn't cut every covenant. They had a covenant man that they would send forth, and this guy would cut a covenant with each tribe that they came to. And then when they would come to a new tribe, the covenant cutter would go forth and say, if you kill me, all these tribes will come and kill you and your family. So let's have peace. One day, the covenant cutter died. Oh no. Livingston thought, oh no, what are we going to do? Well, they took the person with them. They found that with the death of the covenant cutter, the covenant stayed in place. That even with the death of the one who was the middleman, the middle cutter, the contracts stayed. And they could move around Africa. They had made a covenant and it was lasting. And even with the death of the covenant cutter, it secured everything. It wasn't the fact that he had died, but the death of the covenant cutter held on to all the covenants. What's that mean? The swap for life and death occurred. Jesus had to be the double cutter. He had to cut both ways. That's why it says he's a mediator of the new covenant. That means the middle guy, the go-between that pulls God and mankind together. So he tricked the devil by putting blood inside of us. Common, so that his shed blood counted. Now in a covenant, everything that you have belongs to the other person and everything they have belongs to you. So God, or Jesus, Son of God, who's also God, got what we had. And the Bible tells us what we had. It said, our sins were laid upon him. We had sin, and it was laid upon him. He got what we had. I'm sorry. We got what he had, righteousness. He got what we had, the sins. We got what he had, for now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness means ability to stand in the presence of God, and you're right with God. We got an ability to enter heaven, enter the holiest of places in all of existence for eternity. We became indestructible life because of the covenant. We got what he had, he got what we had, and the covenant was satisfied. When people accept Christ, they go, what does that mean? What really happens? In the spirit realm, everything is legal. It's legality, like going to court. Everything is legal in the spirit realm. And justice required the death of an innocent man to be traded for the death of the guilty. And it worked. And we celebrate that in our communion. Gentlemen, if you'd serve the people. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, they took bread. He took bread and he said, this represents my body. Now, why would he say that? Why would he say that? It's bread. He said, it represents my body. And he wanted them to partake of it, to take it and to eat it. The Bible says that people that do not recognize the body of Christ, some of them have died early and some of them are sick. And you go, what's that got to do with it? The stripes on Jesus' back were not just an extended chapter in the Bible. It wasn't to make the Bible fatter on the coffee table. It was for a purpose. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Does anybody know what were means? Done, finished, past tense. Too many millions of Christians are trying to get their healing, trying to get it when they've already got it. Well, where is it? They have to accept it. You remember when Jesus came down from the mountain and there was this kid that kept getting thrown in the fire in the lake, and the dad tried to get his disciples to do something about it? They thought that there was a power outage. They thought that they were short on power to deal with that thing. They never were. The power of God was there the whole time to take care of the thing. What was lacking? Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. It wasn't a lack of power that's stopping somebody from being healed. There's enough power of God to heal everyone in the entire world. Why doesn't everybody in the entire world get healed if the power of God could do it all and did it all? Because the one element, belief, faith, yielding to it, accepting it. That's the factor. So if there's any part of your body today that's not working the way it's supposed to, you got to stop saying and thinking, God's going to heal me. I hope God heals me. There's no faith in that. Anybody can say that. You know what faith is? I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, but you see it on the inside. Your faith will not materialize until you yield to the truth of the Word of God. And that is, I am the healed of the Lord. Yeah, but it still hurts. Exactly. While it still hurts, I am the healed of the Lord by faith. Why? While something doesn't seem to be working, I am the healed of the Lord. Your body will follow your words right into the will of God. So he took the bread and he said, this is for you. Jesus didn't need healing. We needed it. You can't say to God, oh God, take this away from me. He didn't give it to you. You don't go to heaven right now and find, where's your supply of flu? Well, where's the warehouse that has cancer in it? Where's all that stuff? It's not there. It didn't come from heaven. It's on a fallen earth. Hallelujah. As you partake of this bread this morning, partake of it by faith. Well, what does eating a little cracker do? It does everything if you take it by faith. Everything. What has been out of order for so long that you're tired of dealing with it? Some people aren't tired of dealing with stuff. They like stuff. They like the fact that they've got something they can live with and manage, and it helps keep everybody else at bay when they don't want to do stuff, you know. You can't get healing to everybody. Some people rather enjoy their condition. They shut down and say, well, I can't do this because I've got this problem or issue or stuff, and it's really to just kind of shut other people out. So we found out that we can't help everybody. Jesus didn't either. Some of the people in his own hometown said, oh, who's this kid? We know that kid. But if you're ready to receive your healing this morning, in your hand is a symbol of the faith that when Jesus said, this is for you, this is for you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, your words are true. We commit to those words today. By Jesus' stripes, we are the healed of the Lord. And we take this to our bodies that these bodies may function and work. Maybe the vehicle by which we travel around and spread the word of the good news of the gospel of Christ. We receive this now in Jesus' name to your glory. Gentlemen, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some people think that they're going to pay for their own sins. They often try to be good and do good. Pay for their own sins. Hallelujah. Some of them try to help out in the church thinking, or in the community, thinking that they're buying their way in. You know that? They think it's a trade-off. It's by grace, that means the word gift, and it's by the mercy of God, by the grace and the mercy of God that we do anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're a volunteer in this church, understand this. The concept of being a volunteer is a worldly term, and it is not scriptural, and it's not biblical. Well, I'm a volunteer. I don't have to be there. I don't have to do it. The answer is, there's no such thing as volunteerism in the church. You either obey God or you don't obey God. If God told you something to do, you do it or you don't do it, but don't put it in a classification of a world classification that I'm a volunteer, I don't get paid. Or if you say I don't get paid, you just limited God. How do you know you don't get paid? You ever got a promotion or somebody bring a gift over or groceries or gave you a car or anything like that or gave you extra hours at work? How about the verse in Philippians that said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Who supplies everything? Who says you're not getting paid? Well, I know in heaven there'll be a reward. I'm not talking about that reward. I'm talking about the spiritual laws of sowing and reaping now. Given it shall be given now. There is no such thing as a volunteer. You obey God or you don't obey God. But if you put it in a volunteer status like the world's definition, then it makes everything with God so optional. You can opt out depending on how you feel. It's lack of commitment that created the concept of volunteerism, then shoved it into the church. Then the church tries to comply with it, and we get a whole bunch of people that, oh, I'll do it or I won't. I'm telling you, you obey God or you don't obey God. That's the deal. You can't earn. You don't work for God to say that I'll work for my own salvation. It's already a grace, a gift. Yeah, but how about all this other stuff? There's another spiritual principle that God will supply what you need. What you need. According to his riches. How rich is God? If you went to heaven right now, would you go, hey, nice place? No. Your mouth would drop to your knees going, I thought I could imagine how brilliant it was and how cool it was, but I don't have words for this. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. So dump that word volunteer. If God tells you to do something, you need to move in that direction. Do it or disobey, but don't put it in an option category. God never gave you the option. The first 5 years that we pastored, we didn't receive any monies at all. Was I a volunteer? Then the first 5 years? Eventually we got enough to where we got $5 a day. Did I change my status from volunteer because now I'm paid $5 a day? Yeah, you're not a volunteer anymore. You're getting $5 now. At what point in time did I become a volunteer or not a volunteer, or Pastor Shelley or any of our missionaries? You do what God tells you to do, and he brings the supply in, but we don't work for it. Salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, provision is a grace of God, and it's here today if you'll just receive it. The biggest problem people have of in the Christian church is they fail to yield to the truth of the Word of God. And so they live a life of less than. And if you've been living a life of less than so far, it doesn't have to end that way. May the last chapters of your life be the ones that just blow the book apart. You ever read a book and it got boring and boring and boring and boring and then just ended? That's what some Christians' lives are like. How do you like to read a book that you don't know what's going to happen next and you can't wait to get to the next chapter and it builds and builds and builds and wow! That's our lives in Christ. I determined that the last chapters will be the best chapters. Stories that bring glory to God forever. And my avenue, my way, my ticket in is held in my hand, the blood of Christ, because I believe that the blood of Christ worked. Other people may laugh at us for believing that blood could do anything. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Word of God said that the blood created a contract between us and God that is unbreakable. Even if you mess up, God will not break the covenant with you. Even if you mess up on your best day, you couldn't mess the love of God up. You couldn't be bad enough to make God stop. Never happen. Your minds will just say, God, I accept you. We're going for it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your plan and your purpose in the blood of Christ in our hand is the ultimate, the all. We receive it gladly that the life giving force goes into our body and produces a life that's lived for you in your will and your purpose to your glory forever. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is here this morning. The glory of the Lord expresses Himself in each individual. The glory of the Lord is expressed in the family. The glory of the Lord is expressed in your lives. The glory of the Lord is the hope that God lives with. The glory of the Lord is here today. The glory of the Lord is what is being produced in every way. The glory of the Lord will take you all the way to the end. You will live into that glory, and you will see that glory when you step into heaven. The glory of God that is being produced in an obedient life shall be elevated, and you shall live it and see it again. It is permanent in the spirit realm, and it becomes part of your destiny and your future. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Keep playing. Keep playing. Hallelujah. We're just about done picking up the cups here. Pastor Shelley, will you pick up the gifts and Priscilla and